Hello there, this is Santi. Welcome back. Where have you been? I haven't seen you in ages. How long has it been? Let me check real quick. Oh man, I think it's been a year. Actually, to be exact, I just saw it right now. It's been 1 year and 3 days since the previous episode. I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened. I have been creating tons of content in YouTube, and I even started quite a few of other podcasts on different interests. But either way, I don't want to make excuses. I just want to say welcome back. If you listened to this podcast in the past and you thought I was dead, I memento morit, I want to apologize because there were some of you that were really big fans of the show, and I really, really appreciate your loyalty throughout all this time. And if you're listening to this, you're amazing. I mean, I haven't gone anywhere. I still love creating content. I still practice my stoicism. And actually, today's topic is actually something that I love to get your opinion. So if you hop down into the show notes, you're going to be able to find my contact information. Please send me an email. Let me know what you think about this, because it's something that I believe might be controversial for a Stoic. And this is the topic of self-compassion, as you saw in the title. And self-compassion is a topic that I've been, is a concept that I've been practicing really a lot since, you know, like for this past year. And even like my journey of stoicism has really changed based on this concept of self-compassion. This is actually something that I learned from a book, which very creatively is called Self-Compassion, The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself by Kristin Neff. Okay, so this book was actually recommended by a good friend, and this was Jonah Salzgeber, who is the author of The Little Book of Stoicism, who I interviewed in the past on this podcast. So if you scroll down, you'll find an interview with Jonas, and he's amazing. And he recommended actually this book on self-compassion. And I believe he even has a bit of a summary on his website. So yeah, I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to check that out, just to get a bit of an idea. But this book on self-compassion has really changed not just the way I approach myself and the way I deal with my own emotions, but also the way that I perceive stoicism. So I thought it'd be interesting to give you a bit of an update on that, and yeah, share some of my thoughts on how self-compassion has changed my practice of stoicism. And the reason why I love to get your opinion on this is because sometimes I struggle to know if it contradicts any of the core principles of Stoic philosophy. So yeah, let's get to it. So the very first thing is that self-compassion is something that we build, right? We build for ourselves. I believe Stoicism, especially Marcus Aurelius, teaches us to be compassionate to our fellow beings, to our fellow human beings, right? To understand that we're all human, that we all make mistakes, that every single one of us has had those days where we feel like we're not being virtuous, where we feel we're doing some sort of wrong to the world, where we are not the ideal versions of ourselves that we want to do, that we want to be, right? And Marcus Aurelius teaches us to be be compassionate about our fellow human beings, and to learn to forgive and let go of the anger and the resentment that we can build against other people when they do us wrong, or where they just simply don't act according to our expectations. Now, in a similar way, this book that I'm talking about, the Self-Compassion book, talks about we tend for some reason to be, well, not all of us, but some of us tend to build some type of compassion for other people. Or if a friend of us tells us, you know, like, I don't know, they come crying and they say like, hey, I messed up, I did this horrible mistake, my life is ruined, anything like that, we're able to see things from an external point of view and be like, hey, I mean, it's not as bad as you think, really. If you just breathe and you come down, I'm sure you can solve this. I'm sure you can overcome this. And we tend to have some sort of compassion towards others in that manner. But when it comes to ourselves, like, I mean, think of the last time that you made a mistake and you were like, oh, so stupid. Like, how can I allow myself to do these stupid things over and over again? You know, like, you raise your voice at yourself, you get mad at yourself, you are not compassionate to yourself at all, right? And this concept really blew my mind, because I was wondering, like, okay, Stoicism always demands us to be virtuous, to do the right thing, to be the type of person that is willing to do the right thing when the time comes, right? And whenever we fall short, whenever we don't achieve our full potential as Stoics, as people that practice Stoicism, we tend to judge ourselves. And we tend to be like, what would Marcus Aurelius do in my case? What would Seneca do? What would Epictetus do, right? But that really can ruin us. I mean, I definitely noticed my journey towards Stoicism when I was first getting started years ago now. Actually, at the beginning of this podcast, that was really when I was getting started. I realized that I was really, really harsh on myself. I started understanding all of these concepts that I now have managed to internalize, you know, things such as negative visualization, dichotomy of control, which we talked previously in the podcast. These are things that I managed to you know, internalize and to be like, okay, this is how I want to live my life. But whenever I fall short of it, especially in the past when I was getting started, I was like, oh, I'm so stupid. Why can't I just get it in my head that I need to remember the dichotomy of control, you know, and just like get annoyed at myself and judge myself a lot. And it's really been the past year and a half or so that I've learned self-compassion properly. And after tons of things have changed in my life quite drastically, you know, my parents got divorced. I moved back from England, back here into Ecuador, South America, which is where I'm from. But thankfully, things are getting really good for me recently. I'm living with my girlfriend here in an apartment that we're renting, and I'm making a full-time living, making videos on YouTube and selling my online courses and productivity. So I have a business that I'm proud of, and I have a girlfriend that I love, and I have a good place to live in, and I managed to pay my expenses, and life is really good. But I definitely went through a really, really hard time last year, and maybe that was also part of why I didn't record the podcast in the past year. It's been just a lot of time that I needed to be self-compassionate to myself. And I don't think Stoicism is a contradicting force against self-compassion, but I don't think self-compassion is taught in Stoicism, at least not as much as I think it should. You know, then we get in tons of debates, you know, because Stoicism is an ancient philosophy, which a lot of people have tried to make modern. There's tons of modern books, but, you know, those of us that practice Stoicism, we might always rely on the ancient text to really understand the real concepts of Stoicism, right? And I don't really know if self-compassion is a part of Stoicism. I mean, I haven't seen it much. I know Epictetus is a really harsh guy, you know, like he's crazy. So, I mean, Epictetus is always demanding the best of ourselves, always demanding us to act virtuously. Whereas I feel Marcus Aurelius can be a bit more compassionate, a bit more understanding of the human condition. And Seneca is just greedy, but like, I don't think he judges himself all that much. Seneca is great, but either way, I think Epictetus is the one that is really, really hard to incorporate his belief system with this idea of self-compassion, you know. But yeah, so that is really the conflict that I've had for a while. Now, I still consider myself a Stoic. I still think that most of my life philosophy is based on Stoicism. I've actually started to adopt a lot more of Taoism, you know, the ancient Chinese philosophy of Tao, the Tao, which is the way. I will definitely make a full episode on that because that is amazing. And I think it overlaps with Stoicism so, so much. And I'm really, really interested in exploring more of that. So if you're interested, let me know. But either way, self-compassion, right? What is it about? Like, what is this self-compassion thing? Because it sounds simple, right? It's like, oh yeah, just treat yourself kindly. Treat yourself like you would treat a friend. Treat yourself in a way that you would like others to treat you, you know, your family members, your loved ones, the way that you would like them to treat you instead of shouting at you and being like disappointed all the time. You would like to have a bit of self-compassion. So that's how we must treat ourselves. I believe that self-compassion is really, really useful for learning from our mistakes and letting go of maybe the resentment that we have to ourselves on the things that we haven't been able to achieve. I mean, I gotta give you an honest example here, and that is, I was disappointed of me not continuing this podcast because I still believe strongly in Stoicism. I still think that this podcast is helping some of you in some hopefully meaningful way. I would like to, you know, increase the amount of reach that I can have with the messages of Stoicism and the messages of my own beliefs, to be honest. And I was definitely judging myself for not having what it takes, you know, or not having the guts to continue this podcast because I felt like a hypocrite. I felt like I was going through really hard times in my life, mostly my parents' divorce, which was really, really hard, you know. At my age, I'm 25 now, They got divorced last year, maybe a bit before that. Well, I mean, they officially got divorced past year, but like things were already rough for the past couple of years. And that was definitely, it was a stage of my life when I felt weak, you know, like I was feeling very weak right before starting this podcast back in, I don't even know what year it was, but 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Let me check real quick. All right, found the number. So it was on 2018. So this is 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago when I started this podcast. Right before starting the podcast, I was in a very, very low point. I was pretty depressed about the anxiety that I felt. Nothing even like crazy that was happening in my life other than being in a long distance relationship, which was pretty crazy for me. But yeah, either way, like a past year was really, really rough for me emotionally. And, you know, like having to continue this podcast definitely for difficult. Well, I was not in a good place emotionally. I definitely struggled to just get back on the horse and start sharing my life philosophy and the things that I've learned from Stoicism and stuff like that. And I was definitely feeling probably ashamed of myself for not having what it takes. And that's when I really had to apply a lot of self-compassion. And I can tell you, it really, really helps. I feel great right now. I'm in a really good point in my life right now. And I'm really proud of what I've been able to achieve. And it's been only thanks to self-compassion. You know, self-compassion mixed with Stoicism, I think that is a mixture that works for me, at least at this point in my life, combining both of those really core concepts. I mean, everything in Stoicism is just perfect. It's so good. But self-compassion is a missing piece that I was needing, that I needed. And that book that I was mentioning really, really helps, the self-compassion book. I'll leave it in the show notes if you want to check it out, as well as the article posted by my friend Jonas on it, because yeah, it's really, really important concept. Actually, it's not by Jonas, it's by his brother, Niels. So, you know, Niels and Jonas, they run this website called NJ Life Hacks, for Niels and Jonas Life Hacks. And to be honest, when I first came across this blog post, right, when I just met Jonas, I was like, okay, this. And let me just read you the title of that blog post. It's called Self-Compassion, The Proven Powers of Being Nice to Yourself. And it's pretty much just, well, I mean, giving tons of the core ideas of the book Self-Compassion by Kristin Neff, which is an amazing, amazing book, like I said. And, you know, when I came across this book or these ideas, I was like, okay, but I mean, self-compassion, really? Isn't that kind of girly? What a terrible thing to think, right? Because self-compassion just helps all of us in ways that you probably can't even imagine yet. And I only read this book because it was recommended by Niels and Jonas, and because I knew that they both practice Stoicism and they both are really knowledgeable people that have read a lot of philosophy. I was like, okay, I mean, if they're recommending this book, they have to be up to something, right? Like they must have realized the power of this. I gave the book a try a year or two ago, and it took a while for me to internalize all of these concepts. I mean, right now, I would say I'm pretty self-compassionate, but to be honest, I wasn't. I mean, I was so self-critical before that book, and I was really damaging myself emotionally. I was overthinking more than ever, you know, because I discovered Stoicism, let's say, when I was like 20 or 21. Maybe 21, let's say. And before that, I always considered myself a crazy overthinker. And I was always a forced optimist, you know. I was trying to see the bright side of everything all the time. And I really lacked some of that Stoic realism of seeing things for what they are and recognizing what you don't control. And when I got into Stoicism, my overthinking calmed down a little bit, right? I was less of an overthinker because I was starting to see things a bit more rationally, let's say like a Stoic, trying to separate the things that I control from the things I don't and so on. And my overthinking definitely decreased. But interestingly enough, after like maybe a year of literally reading about Stoicism every single day, very obsessively, which was it's a really cool journey, but it was pretty obsessive. Then my overthinking came back almost full force because I was always trying to, you know, be a Stoic about things, you know, judge myself, be like, okay, be a good Stoic. And I was very judgmental of myself. And my overthinking was an at all-time high. I fell back into another kind of like mini depression. And yeah, I mean, I was really ashamed of myself. I was like, okay, but I'm practicing Stoicism. Why and my not being able to see things rationally. And then I started realizing with the self-compassion book and other things I read, like, well, okay, at the end of the day, emotion is the guiding force that makes us be who we are. You know, we can try to apply stoic rationality to things, but at the end of the day, emotion is king. There's not much we can do about it other than be self-compassionate to ourselves, accept our emotions, and then being able to see things a bit more through reason, right? Actually, you know, the gap between emotion and reason is something I learned quite a lot about, so I'll definitely like to make another episode on that. So again, do message me if you want to see that happen. That'd be really cool. So like I was saying, my overthinking was at an all-time high, even after a year of stoicism or even more. And then I realized that only through self-compassion I was going to be able to deal with my inner demons, to, you know, like even like what Carl Jung calls the shadow that we all have inside, that dark side that is really hard to rationalize or even like comprehend, but it just needs to be accepted through pure emotion. And it involves a lot of crying. Even if you're a stoic, you just need to cry certain things out. And I learned to cry, you know, like, but without judgment, because I was always a crybaby, you know. Ever since being like a little kid, I don't think I was super sensitive or like extremely emotional, you know, but but I definitely was okay with expressing my emotions. But I always, if I ever cried, I did it through an approach of, you know, of judgment, of like, oh, why are you crying? You shouldn't be crying. Whereas now, or even like a year ago, or whenever I started learning about self-compassion, I was like, okay, it's not just okay to cry, it's actually quite necessary. Like, I remember for like a month or so, I would just even say like, hey, I feel like I haven't cried in a month or more. I'm just gonna, you know, go to the bathroom, look at myself in the mirror, turn out the lights, put a sad song, and I'm just gonna cry my eyes out just to release all the emotional tension that I have. And you can laugh all you want, but it helped me a lot. You know, it's the kind of thing I needed to do. It's something that I think is valuable. I think it's important. And especially as men, it's really hard to go through that ego barrier that doesn't let us do this, that says like, hey, you're a man, don't cry. You know, like, that is terrible advice. And it's something that is so like part of our culture, so part of society, you know, that men don't cry kind of stuff, that really damages us, and we need to deal with that. And, you know, I'm not just directing this message to men, because I think, you know, for the girls out there listening to this, self-compassion can take, you know, like, self-compassion can help all of us. And whether you're a girl or a guy, we all suppress our emotions. We all judge ourselves way more than we should. So more than a matter of being more like a girl or being less like a man or whatever, I think it's a matter of just coming to terms that we're all human, that we all make mistakes, and we make more mistakes than we like to admit. And just coming to peace with that, coming to peace with our emotions, accepting our emotions, and then moving on to the step of incorporating rationality through stoicism and so on. So if this is a topic that you would like me to expand, please let me know. That book is amazing. I love to, you know, dissect the book a bit more. I think it's a missing piece that stoicism needs. At least personally, like, that was a missing piece I needed in order to make my stoic journey and my personal philosophy a bit more complete. So if this helped you, again, reach out to me. My contact information is in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it was valuable to you. And yeah, I mean, I do have more ideas and more episodes that I want to do. And if you have any questions or episodes that you would like me to cover for any specific topics or questions that you have, I'd love to do that. So yeah, with that said, I really hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you in the next one. Memento mori. Bye.